WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies, 33 degrees in Atlantic. Looking forward to be mostly cloudy here today with a high around 48. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In Western Iowa news, a man hunting deer in Madison County Wednesday, south of Truro, was injured while using an unconventional weapon. Iowa Department of Natural Resources spokesman Kevin Baskins said the accident involved a 69-year-old man from Cumming.
In this particular incident, we had a gentleman that was on an elevated stand and was taking a shot at a deer when the muzzle loader that he was using exploded.
The man was identified as Theodore Larson, and he lost a thumb in that explosion.
He was unable to find his thumb after the gun exploded. And then eventually, after being able to get assistance, he was airlifted to Methodist in Des Moines.
Maskin says the muzzle loaders are often new reproduction guns that are still loaded in the old way. He's not sure what type of gun Larson was using, but said they'll try to find out why it exploded.
Our officers are experts at looking at these firearms and being able to examine what's left of the gun to determine what may have happened to make it perform that way.
Baskins says the muzzleloader shotgun season overlaps with the regular shotgun season. He does not believe that there have been that many problems with the old-style weapons.
I think it's an unusual case. It's not unheard of, and that's obviously one of the reasons why we want to further investigate is to determine exactly why that gun did perform the way it did.
He said the accident happened at around 5 in the evening, and Larson was likely airlifted to the hospital because it was the quickest way at that time of day to get him in for treatment. News time is 8:02.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The Atlantic Police Department reports 28-year-old Laura Madden of Atlantic turned herself into authorities on Wednesday. Madden had been wanted on a warrant for contempt of court. She was subsequently booked into the Cass County Jail. The Iowa Finance Authority Board of Directors recently approved a total of more than $5.4 million in grants to 25 local housing trust funds to move local affordable housing projects forward. The grants will aid in the development and preservation of nearly 2,000 affordable housing units throughout the state. The grants will provide nearly $5.5 million in funding and leverage an additional $6 million in local contributions to assist 25 local housing trust funds in moving their housing priorities forward. Here in Western Iowa, COG Housing Incorporated, which serves Audubon, Carroll, Crawford, Greene, Guthrie, and Sac counties, was awarded a $249,671 grant that will assist 28 low-income households through a combination of grants and low-interest loans. Eligible activities will include lead hazard remediation, owner-occupied rehabilitation, down payment assistance for homeowners, and emergency relocation and foreclosure prevention assistance. The Council Bluffs Housing Trust Fund Incorporated received a grant amounting to $152,230 to promote the development of an estimated 25 affordable rental and home ownership housing opportunities through financing of rehabilitation, new construction, or direct assistance activities. Those funds will be used to promote home buyer and tenant education, including general maintenance information. In addition, the Southern Iowa COG, or Council of Governments Housing Trust Fund, which serves Adair, Adams, Clark, Decatur, Madison, Ringgold, Taylor, and Union counties, received a $244,155 grant for seven affordable housing activities to assist an estimated 30 households, owner-occupied rehabilitation and supportive home ownership, first-time home buyer assistance, transitional and special needs housing, including assisted living, infrastructure for a new development and infill housing, lead-based paint remediation, demolition, and lot clearance for new construction and rental projects. And the Southwest Iowa Housing Trust Fund Incorporated, which serves Cass, Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Montgomery, Page, Pottawatomie, and Shelby counties, received a $296,151 grant to assist an estimated 50 households by providing down payment assistance for low-income households and owner-occupied and rental rehabilitation assistance for extremely low-income households. The grant funds will be used for initiatives such as subsidizing local down payment assistance programs, providing low-interest loans or grants to assist Iowans in home rehabilitation, or financing construction of new single-family housing for low-income Iowans, supporting transitional housing programs, as well as homeless assistance and prevention. Well, the Atlantic City Council this week accepted without too many qualms Atlantic Municipal Utilities' 2013 budget. As we had reported earlier, AMU said its total budget for 2012 is up 12.1% from the current fiscal year. The biggest factors which figure into the increase is a price the utility pays for electric production and transmission costs, which have risen a combined 56.6%. The utility also said its fund balances would decline by $431,000, or 9.2%, despite AMU's planned increases in local electric and water rates, which go into effect January 1st. City Administrator Doug Harris said the council on Wednesday also accepted work conducted on the city's street maintenance garage. The final contract price was $42,585. Harris said the council also approved a change order pertaining to the hot melt asphalt resurfacing improvement contract with Henningsen Construction Incorporated.
Because on the sidewalk ramps, there was some retaining walls that had to be put in to stop erosion.
And they approved a change order with Fox Engineering with regard to the new wastewater treatment plant.
We dropped a few items, and I think the net was only like $1,000 and some, so it wasn't a big deal.
In his report to the council, Harris said he spoke about certification of the new lab at the wastewater treatment plant, efforts at negotiations with AFSCME, and an energy audit.
I filled them in that our wastewater, the new lab, had gone through its certification process and was approved. They do that every 2 years, but it's the first time for the new lab. Informed them that I held the first negotiation session with the AFSCME, who represent the police. The state energy audit will be conducted next week. We're going to have a look at municipal buildings, see if there's anything we can do to reduce energy consumption.
Harris said that Mayor Dave Jones Wednesday issued a reminder to the citizens of Atlantic that when the snow finally falls, sidewalks need to be cleared and the snow should not be pushed into the streets. And the city's yard waste hours site has changed effective this past Monday. The site will now be operating on winter hours, which are on Saturdays only from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And as always, only trees, branches, grass, garden waste, and leaves are accepted at that site. The Shelby County Emergency Management Agency said Thursday that another road in the county will be closed due to repairs. The latest closure affects the Timber Road Bridge, which will be closed effective today for the installation of a low-water crossing. The bridge is located on a dirt road in 300 block of Timber Road between Monroe Townships 22 and 23 in Shelby County. The bridge will be replaced with a low-water crossing next spring. Last week, you may recall, it was announced that repairs on the Keg Creek Bridge along 1100th Street in Shelby County result in the closure of that street for about 2 weeks. Again, that road was officially closed on Monday. Area commercial manure applicators should plan to attend the commercial manure applicator training program scheduled for Friday, January 4th from 9 a.m. till noon. Iowa State University Extension and Outreach in cooperation with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources will conduct the required 3-hour training workshop at that time. There is no fee to attend the January 4th workshop, but commercial applicators must register by December 28th by contacting ISU Extension at the Shelby County office at 712-755-3104. Commercial manure applicators needing to recertify and those wanting to certify for the first time should plan to attend that meeting. And again, for more information, you can call the Shelby County Extension office or your local Extension office. A reminder that all currently certified commercial manure applicator licenses do expire on March the 1st of 2013. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the nation's unemployment rate is now at the lowest it's been since December of 2008. It dropped to 7.7% in November as the economy added 146,000 jobs. The government says Superstorm Sandy had only a minimal effect on the figures, as hiring remained steady during the storm. But it's also reporting that employers added 49,000 fewer jobs in October and September than initially estimated. And the decline in the jobless rate came mostly because more people stopped looking for work. Several people along the northeastern coast of Japan are reported injured, and buildings in Tokyo and elsewhere swayed for several minutes today after a strong quake struck the same coastal area devastated by last year's massive quake and tsunami. The quake generated some small waves, but there were no reports of any heavy damage. Officials say there were repeated smaller aftershocks. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton says the U.S. and Russia have agreed to support mediation efforts with all parties in Syria to bring about a political transition. But she says Syrian President Bashar Assad must leave Moscow, or rather must leave power to secure a democratic future for the Arab country. Washington and Moscow have clashed repeatedly throughout Syria's 21-month civil war over how to stem the violence. In a new effort, Clinton met yesterday with Russia's foreign minister and the UN peace envoy for Syria to try and chart a new path forward. Russia is blasting legislation that won final approval by the U.S. Congress yesterday, calling for sanctions against Russian officials who were accused of human rights violations. Russia's foreign ministry calls it a show in the theater of the absurd and warns that it will respond in kind. The bill is designed to end Cold War-era trade restrictions against Russia. And Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez appeared vigorous as he spoke on television at the airport after arriving back home in Caracas early today from 10 days of medical treatment in Cuba. He had been undergoing cancer treatment, but said that several months ago that he was cancer-free. News time is 8:11.
Ho, ho, ho! Christmas is all about glimmering lights and the sounds of Christmas. Santa's belly laugh, sleigh bells ringing, Christmas carols singing, and even closer to home, the sounds of laughter for your children and your grandchildren.
This is audiologist Doug Leonard of ASI. As you gather around the piano or simply sit and visit with family and friends, make it an enjoyable time instead of a frustrating time. If you or a loved one is having difficulty hearing the people around you and the sounds of the season, we can help. We will schedule your hearing evaluation and answer your questions regarding your hearing and how it can be improved.
Christmas is supposed to be a joyous time, so enjoy all the signs and the sounds of season. So call ASI to make your Christmas a ho, 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 instead of a huh, huh, huh. ASI is offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Daniel Lee Weiss, age 50, of Walnut, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Daniel Weiss will be today at 10:30 at the Walnut American Legion Hall. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Cleo Larby, age 87, of Colorado and formerly of Vanilla, died November 26th. Funeral services for Cleo Larby will be today at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. Charlotte Lewis, age 96, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Funeral services for Charlotte Lewis will be held on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Michael Kulbaum, age 58, of Wyota, died unexpectedly on Wednesday from a fall. Memorial services for Michael Kulbaum will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church, with a luncheon to follow. Reagan Beath Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Bernadine Bauer, age 86, of rural Bridgewater, died Wednesday at her daughter's home. Funeral services for Bernadine Bauer are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. James Edgar McCallan, age 43, of Ashland, Oregon, died Tuesday in Nevada. Services for James McCallan are pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.